All right, we're back with politics and more. And just before the break, we were kind of talking about the poll numbers and the effect of money with regard to what the Biden administration can or cannot do. And I think, and I kind of actually agree with you, Rosemary, that the Biden administration may be raising massive amounts of money, but this is kind of one of those things that people know when they can feel it in the pocketbook, no matter how many times somebody tells you, oh, no, it's a lot better. When you're going to the store and buying food and you don't have any money left over, you know it's not better.
I was like, when you walk out of even a place like Aldi's and you've just spent $70 or $80 and you only have enough food for 3 days, that is already a problem. It's like that is not... That doesn't feel like prosperity to me. That doesn't feel like a stable economy to me. And it's like in people who have, you know, two full-time jobs and maybe a side gig and kids, this is really tight on us. A lot of people have made a lot of parallels to what was going on during Jimmy Carter. And it's like, and now you're having a lot of offices going back to on-site. So it's like now they're gas... is going back up, their gas expense and car expense is going back up. So it's like they keep getting pulled more and more by the pocket by this government. And the government keeps trying to tell us, it's like, no, this is great. Please have another. And we're supposed to just take it. And I don't think we can.
Yeah, it's definitely hitting people in the pocketbook. And you know, it's going to be an interesting experiment to see can hundreds of millions of dollars being spent to tell people things are okay, will that have any impact on people's voting? I'm sort of guessing not, but this is going to be a true test of whether massive amounts of money spent on marketing can persuade people they're better off than they really are.
Well, so even with the latest big piece of news where we had the Francis Scott Key bridge collapse, and that being a very, there's been lots of conspiracy theories that have been gone around it, and quite frankly and quite honestly, it's like it's just a boat that lost power at the wrong spot at the wrong time, and it had a little bit to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion, and also the lack of infrastructure that Biden's administration continued to promise us and didn't deliver. And the bridge is only like an hour and a half away from the White House. So if Biden really wanted to have a really good PR win, he would just go to the site and be like, we're going to have this thing replaced in 3 years or 2 years. But right now you're having a lot of analysts say it's like in order to have the amount of money funded through the city to do this, it would take 10 years to fix it. I'm like, that's just absolutely ludicrous. The infrastructure in that city absolutely needs that bridge. And you have Biden says like, well, we're going to do everything in our power to get it done. It's like, well, you better get it done before you leave this office, because no one is going to believe that Democrats can do anything if they can't get that bridge back up. And it's like, and kind of going back to Trump, it's like they keep trying to nail him and give him bad press. But like I said before, any press about Trump is good press. And Jon Stewart really tried to nail him on him overestimating how much Mar-a-Lago was valued for. But it turns out, here's an analyst talking about how Jon Stewart did the exact same thing as Trump and how he's also not taking responsibility for it.
Jon Stewart takes a page out of Trump's book.
Trump's property values were inflated because when it came time to pay taxes, Trump undervalued the very same properties. It was all part of a very sophisticated real estate practice known as lying.
So overvaluing property values is bad. Wait, what do we have here, John? It says here that his New York City penthouse sold for 829% more than its assessed value. Records also show that Stewart paid significantly lower property taxes, which were calculated based on that assessor valuation.
So yeah, right now you have John, it's like, and Jon Stewart ended up making a comment after this, and his response to this analysis is, well, I'm not Trump. So again, we're on this, on the usual narrative is freedom for me, but not for thee. And Everything that they try to accuse Trump of doing, they are guilty of every single time. And it doesn't look good on Dems when they do this. And they can't seem to stop hitting themselves in the head with a shovel every time they do this.
Definitely funny the way that has kind of played out and everything. But also bad for New York because, you know, we've talked about they're going to get a lot of businesses are going to reconsider wanting to go to New York and invest money if this is going to be the issue. Now, another thing that happened this week is Robert F. Kennedy picked a running mate, and he's trying to essentially, get Democrat voters.
He picked a decent running mate for what he's trying to accomplish. She is the ex-wife to the guy who created Google. And so it's going to pump a lot of money back into his campaign, and it's going to – I honestly do think it's going to end up pulling some Dems into his direction. And Robert Kennedy Jr. has made it very clear that he knows that he's a threat to Biden and not that much to Trump. So this is going to be a place where Democrats will be like, well, I can't vote for Trump, but I also can't stay with Biden. It's going to give these types of independents and left-leaners a place to go. And Biden is, again, very, very worried about this. We had last week where Jen Psaki said that she is worried about people not knowing enough about him to not vote for Robert Kennedy. So, the White House is not happy about it. And on top of which, one of the other stories that came out this week is Ronna McDaniels ended up getting cut from NBC. She didn't even last as long as CNN Plus.
Did she and this is a very interesting news story because after stepping down as chairman of the Republican Party amidst a lot of criticism, she was hired by NBC as an analyst, and that was a good move for NBC because she's a well-known Republican. And you know, a lot of these studios want to have kind of opposing, or at least we had thought, you would think they would want to have some opposing viewpoints for them to generate discussion. But did she even go on the air?
She didn't make it to air. No.
I was trying to think that. And, it first started off with a lot of blowback by a lot of their on-air personalities. You saw it on Joe Scarborough in the morning.
And Chuck Todd and
all. A lot of them were upset. They were calling out NBC, just absolutely furious that
tearing their leadership apart.
That she was hired to be a political analyst there, which again is ironic because the whole point of probably bringing her on was to at least have an opposing viewpoint to make some of their discussions interesting and to provide context and at least show what the opposing viewpoint was. And, I think for NBC, and obviously we know that MSNBC is very left-leaning, that's pretty much pushed their brand into a much more left-leaning camp all across the board now.
Well, and here's a little compilation of all of those hosts actually voicing their opinion about having Ron on right before she got cut.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination.
We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it.
NBC News, either wittingly or unwittingly, is teaching election deniers that what they can do stretches well beyond appearing on our air in interviews to peddle lies about the sanctity and integrity of our elections. But that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News. She literally backed an illegal scheme to steal an election in the state of Michigan. That is the type of experience that Ronna McDaniel brings to the table. And that experience does not get us to a deeper understanding of anything in the public debate.
So, it's like everyone just kind of having their own little hissy fit on NBC could not stand having someone like Ronna McDaniels on. And, I mean, in some ways it's a testament to Ronna McDaniels that she wasn't Romney enough for them, and that she was going to defend the RNC, and that she was going to defend a lot of the supporters of Trump. And that was, for them, that was not good enough in order to keep her on.
Well, this kind of highlights the fact that the major networks, and we already know they're very liberal-leaning anyway, so, I mean, that's not been a real secret for the last two decades. But sometimes they will argue that they're fair and, you know, allow both sides to talk. But a lot of times you'll see a Republican, a token Republican, who is not very conservative. They're just very moderate. And, you know, very much in that Mitt Romney thing. And, you know, this is, again, it just emphasizes that who's in charge of these networks? You know, they're far left talk show hosts pretty much have dictated who to hire and who to fire at NBC News.
And it's like, and the person that was responsible for actually creating that contract and asking her on ended up putting out a press release saying how sorry he was, how he didn't want to make anyone else at the network uncomfortable, and that he didn't realize how much of a bother it was going to be. And right now, Ronna McDaniels actually weighing whether or not to sue NBC for basically a wrongful breach of contract, simply because it's like, you hired me to be me, and then you fired me for me being myself. So she's kind of looking deeper into this. We'll see how that develops this next week, and seeing whether or not she'll actually go ahead and sue NBC for being NBC. So we'll see how that continues to work out for her. Whether or not she'll show up on CNN. I know she showed up on CNN a little bit last week, on Wednesday or Thursday. Well, we'll see if she ends up popping up on like ABC or any of the other talk shows in the morning.
I guess they'll have to
care about what she has to say.
I guess, Rosemary, they'll have to kind of go through their left wing talent and just make sure that, you know, those people are okay with her being hired, and that it won't create some sort of emotional distress that they wouldn't be able to handle.
I was like, or they'll have to just be like, well, you have to interview her, but we'll also pay for your therapy afterwards, for your little safe space, because they can't handle having someone who was head of the RNC to come and talk with them. But we're going to take a quick break right here, and we will be right back.